And as he would walk through it, he would remind himself of the promise of God. All of that you walk through, wherever you put your foot, whatever your eyes see, that's what I'm going to give you. Abram, in all that process, is now developing and a deeper appreciation for how great God is. He's developing a response to the fact that God, who gives promises and makes promises, man, these are great promises. Look at this place. Brother Brian read early in Deuteronomy how Moses was given, would give the people a description of the place. There were trees. When Joshua sent those two spies into Canaan, they came back with a cluster of grapes and it took two grown men to carry them. This is the bounty of that place. And Abraham took those walks. And as he's taking those walks, he's constantly reminding himself what God promised. And he develops a communion and a relationship with God to the point that the scripture says he was a friend of God. When those three messengers came to Abram as he was sitting in his home base at Mamre, it says later on in that chapter, shall I hide the thing that I'm going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah from Abram? Am I going to hide? I can't hide. He's my friend. He has walked with me. He has accepted and heard and has been responding to my promises. Can I hide this thing from him? And he says, and he tells Abram. And if there's one of the greatest exchanges of dialogue between a man and the great, divine, holy, sovereign God is that discussion that Abraham has with God. He says, God, well, will you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? Would you destroy it if there were 50 righteous? And we know the story that Abraham entertains and goes back and forth with God until he says, well, what about 10? And at that point, Abraham stopped. But how can you have that kind of discussion, that kind of dialogue, if you haven't known the one whom you're talking to? To know that he is gracious and he is merciful, that he would look out in order to bring out those who were destined for judgment. Abraham, as he gleaned and as he rehearsed those promises, as he acted in faith and obedience in seeing and in walking through the land, he learned more and more about his God. And so it says in the text, he built and dwelt his tent, he pitched his tent, he removed his tent from wherever he was. And in all of these passages that we've been reading, you notice that he's always on the move. But here he comes to a place where he's pretty much settled in the enjoyment of the promises of God. And he says, and there also he built an altar until now. The altar, and we didn't talk too much about this today yet, the altar is used in scripture a couple of ways. It was sort of mentioned in quick passing. There is the altar that was for sacrifice. And this is really seen if you think about the tabernacle, that big altar that was built in the courtyard. It was for the offerings, the burnt offering, the sin offering, all those offerings, sacrifices. But there was another altar that was inside the first room of the tabernacle. It was called the altar of incense. And what it was is that it brought an odor. And we learn from the scriptures that this matter of incense is what the scripture says is that the prayers of the saints, the communion of the saints as they enter into relationship with God. The altar always reminds us of how man can have access to God. How can we come into the presence of God? How can we know God if it were not for the altar? The altar of sacrifice we speak of and think of Christ's atoning work. But also the altar reminds us of the fact that we are brought into a relationship with divine persons and we can have communion with him. We can offer our prayers and praises. And the hymn writer says the odor is like sweet perfume that rises. And I believe Abram's altar is really typify the second type of altar, where it speaks of Abraham's response to all that God has declared, said, and promised. And he responds in appreciation. He responds by calling on the name of the Lord. He responds by just delighting in the promises of God, in that he would go out and he would return. He would look and he would see. In Hebrews, we read, and it's interesting, here it says, lift up your eyes and look, arise and walk. When we get the New Testament commentary on it, it says, he sojourned first. He sojourned first. He explored all of it. And in his exploration, he discovered something. Wait a second. And this was mentioned already, so if you heard this before. In all of his exploration, in all of his walking, he realized, wait a second, this isn't really what God is doing. He's got a bigger agenda, and he says, you know what? I see a city. I see a city that has a foundation whose builder and maker is God. I see what God is doing is so much bigger than just simply the possession of land. And so the New Testament commentary is, he persevered. He kept going because he was pursuing something more than just the hills and the dales and the streams of Canaan. He saw that God had a bigger purpose and a bigger plan, and that he was going to build a city. And in that city, he was going to dwell. You see, when we are in communion with God, he reveals his secrets. He says, the fear of the Lord. He reveals his secret to them that fear him. Abraham walked in the presence and in the good of those promises, and God revealed to him, Abraham, this is so much bigger than just this land. You can walk this land. You can pitch your tent. You can carry your tent and go from this place to that place, the length and the breadth. But you know what? I've got a bigger plan, and Abraham tapped into that bigger plan, and he persevered. The Bible tells us that these all died in faith, not having received the promises. But had they considered where they came from, they might have thought to go back. Abraham saw something that was so infinitely greater than just simply the land of Canaan, and his desire and his heart was to press on and to push forward and to keep going and to keep going, because he saw the bigger picture. In Genesis, he saw, he walked. In Hebrews, he sojourned, but he saw the big picture. So why do we study this? Why do we read these texts, and why do we read these accounts of Abram, and why are we even having this discussion about building altars? You know what it is? Well, there's a couple reasons. The first one is God put it in the Bible. And that should be sufficient enough to read these things and to try to understand and to learn some lessons. Another reason is, we have been mentioning this, that Abraham is the father of the faithful. He's the father of us all. We are children of Abraham. And what that means is not that we're descendants in the Hebrew line or genetic descendants from Abraham. But it means that we who believe God, we who have heard the voice of God, who have heard what God has declared about his purposes and all that he has set forward for us in Christ, that we have heard and we believe. And so we become children of faith. We become children of Abraham. And so Abraham becomes the prototypical man of faith. And so you and I can learn some lessons from Abraham's journey of faith. The Bible tells us that these things were recorded for us, on whom the end of the age is come, that we might learn from them. So there are lessons to be learned. There are things that we can take, and there's reasons why we should to look at these things and to learn from them. And let's see what lessons we can learn from the accounts that we have just read.